A listener production.
Activate your internet, because the Hamish and Andy podcast starts in 3, 2. Sorry, still buffering. 1.
Ahoy to me slipcaster, Hamish.
I would never, I'd never cast in the traditional way. Well, I'd always just slip it out the side when no one was looking. I don't like eyes on me when I cast.
Ahoy to me Turner, Jack.
Yep, can't keep him still.
What do you mean?
Well, like you got to keep him moving.
Got to keep him moving.
Oh, turning. Yeah, sure. And I'd be the thrower in this.
I think we're commercial fishermen.
No.
I thought we were... Are we bakers?
No.
Hang on. Slip casting, turning, throwing.
What is it? What's the baker? What's the baker?
Just like throw the dough in the air like they do with pizza.
Big bread. And you're just turning it over while it's baking. Yeah. Give it to me. What do we got?
We are clay production, ceramics or pottery.
Oh, turning, yeah.
Similar to baking.
You're on
so
the wheel.
Slip caster.
Bacon pots.
You make shapes that are unable to be made by a machine hand. Yes.
I'll be one of the last to go in the revolution. Nice to know I'm impervious to robots at this stage.
The Turner, Jacko, you operate the pattern wheels to trim to desired shapes.
Oh, patterns, easily repeatable. Perfect job for a machine.
And the thrower, myself,
yep.
I throw shape it on. The clay on a potter's wheel. Again, very hard to
very
replace
human.
Me.
Very quite a human skill. Yes. Well done, Ando.
Thank you. And well done to yourself.
Well, working out.
They've been saying that robots will take over this job of pressing the buttons since I started 15 years ago, and I'm still here. So take
and
that, robots.
That's why.
I cannot believe I think the robots turned it down.
I think the robots politely declined it because it's too menial.
Ahoy also to Eve, who went to hamishandandy.com to upload what she's been up to.
She'll be exhausted.
Ahoy boys, Eve here. I'd like to thicken the pancake mix of the Pancake Wars saga. Ooh. And throw in the fact that there is a thriving pancake kitchen residing in Ballarat. Mm. And I can say with confidence, because I'm a past employee, that we have the same ice cream, the same pancake mix, the same maple syrup, the same menu and marketing as the Pancake Parlors.
Wow.
When we're told as new employees what to say when we get the dreaded question of whether or not we're the same franchise, we were told to always respond with a story. And this is that story.
Please, please, please.
Two brothers got into business together, had a falling out over a female lover.
Yep.
They separated from the business, creating two separate ones, going it solo, mm-hmm. one pancake kitchen, mm-hmm. which only has a few shops scattered across the country, and the other thriving pancake parlor. Okay. I hope this helps in the research into the pancake wars.
Certainly does.
It certainly does.
On the ground is really nice, isn't it?
To have someone come out, going clear or something, someone come out of the, because we haven't had any employees come out and go, oh, look, listen, we know.
It's amazing. It's like when someone of the Scientology Church came out and went,
I mean,
the revealer. Yeah, we've actually got someone on the inside revealing all.
This is the phone call Louis Theroux dreams of. I'm an ex-employee. Yes. You know, stay where you are. Yeah. Yes, I'm coming to you. So, okay, just to recap for people, we have Pancake Parlour in Melbourne. That's the chain I obviously was first familiar with being a Melbourne boy.
Yes.
Many locations. And their point of difference, if you can call it that, is they're heavily pancake themed. Mm. Then we know about Pancakes on the Rocks.
That's in Sydney. Same font though.
Same saloon font and the suspiciously similar
menu
and a couple of crossovers. But I mean, it's the same font. We discovered that was the original. That was the original couple.
But they have other foods that aren't
in
pancake.
The 90s, according to their website, they made a bold play at ribs, chicken, pizza, non-pancake specific foods.
I had an email come in that said that they only go there for the ribs and chicken, have never tried the pancakes, which shocked me because I thought that...
Right. I just feel like you got a foot in, you know, you're trying to please everyone, you please no one.
Yep.
But they seem to be in business, so bully for them.
What does that mean?
It's like an old saying. Whoopee.
Okay, great.
So they're on the Pancakes on the Rocks, that makes sense. There's also many other Pancakes on the Rocks. Now, You must feel, if you're a franchise owner of, say,
Are there heaps of pancakes on the rocks?
A few throughout New South Wales. Right. If you're an owner of Pancakes on the Rocks in, like, let's say the Blue Mountains.
Yes.
You must be like, we're not at the rocks.
No.
We don't even do pancakes.
Exactly. What are we
doing? Should we be called Mountain Chicken or
Yeah.
Pizza in the bush. Because
Pancakes on the Rocks, we've got the rocks in the suburb of the rocks.
Yeah, we've now lost all relevance to the title. Anyway, that's their own business conundrum to solve, and I wish them luck.
With Chicken Mountain.
So now we've got the Pancake Kitchen coming into play. That's Country Victoria. So this is claiming totally different as well. It's
now,
such a strange...
But we didn't get from her whether that is an offspring of...
It does sound like that's an offshoot.
I thought Pancake Kitchen was Adelaide, remember? And then
that was the original, and so that's gone into Country Victoria.
Yeah. Before the split.
They began in Adelaide. They were on the website,
that's right.
Paraphrasing, because if I remember it correctly, it was like, we always dreamed of opening a pancake restaurant in Melbourne. So we began in Adelaide. But then we moved to Melbourne for the real dream. This is the real dream. History starts now. That was like the second iteration.
That's how it was, wasn't it?
All the others were practice dreams. This is the real dream. Can I throw something else at you?
So what must have happened, just for me, chronologically, they've got Pancake Kitchen. They're still dreaming of Melbourne.
Adelaide. The couples split up.
So they've started Pancake Kitchen in Ballarat.
As well.
Hoping to get to Melbourne one day, getting that little bit closer.
Oh, yeah, like almost halfway.
So
yeah,
I would say Pancake Kitchen in Ballarat is quite, because that's a country town in Victoria, quite old. Then they've split.
The Adelaide one dissolves.
Yes.
Kitchen stays open in Country Victoria.
Couple of restaurants. You never close.
You don't muck around with that. Yeah. And it would be a jewel of this town.
Yeah.
But then Pancake Parlour opens up in Melbourne, starts spreading.
Mm.
Pancakes on the rocks. New South Wales gets a foothold in the rocks, starts spreading. Mm. Changes, deviates slightly away from pancakes, but not all the way.
Mm. And that's where we're at.
No. The pancake mammoth. The pancake. I told you this should be its own podcast. Yeah. I did warn you at the start. The pancake wars should be its own podcast. And I'm not just saying this because whether it's today or another show, there might be evidence of other Peter outs. Can I just say this has been a big non-Peter out?
Yes.
I'd like a big point to our show.
All Peters are in and they're all listening
staying on this.
Yes.
Pancake Manor, a lot of Queensland podcasters.
You are glossing over. So there's another...
Mm-hmm. This is the next chapter.
So what is a parlour?
What is a manor?
I feel like a manor outdoes a parlour.
Absolutely.
Of course it does.
Yeah.
Parlour. I think, wasn't the parlour just part of the house?
Where you'd play games?
Yes.
Maybe.
I think you did. Seems like, is it in the Cluedo board?
A parlour. No. I was thinking.
Parlour games, I guess.
Parlour games. Yes. Yeah. Okay. So it's fun. It's a fun room.
It's not. It's probably more of a, it's probably an old timey rumpus room.
Yeah. So.
But you might have
better
a
than
bench.
A kitchen. You'd prefer to spend time in a parlour than a kitchen. And you'd prefer to spend time in a manor.
And Pancake Manor makes it sound like there's 500 rooms.
Yes.
And you wake up in the morning and there's a steaming hot short stack.
Yeah.
So the Pancake Manor is in Brisbane. People love the Pancake Manor in Brisbane.
Same font?
Not just the same font, exactly the same font. And Lewis Carroll's Alice from Alice in Wonderland.
Same
Alice in Wonderland theme. They are not connected by any central... Yeah, as the parlour, because the pancake parlour is heavily Alice in Wonderland.
Well, that's fun. That's in a room that's fun.
Theme.
Yeah. Yeah. that makes sense with pancake parlours.
And the manor is, I mean, it's just unbelievable. But it's like they invented this thinking we would never travel state lines or get the internet, because the pancake manor is, I'll show you here. This is in the studio.
Oh, wow.
It's her. And she's yelling perfect instead of lovely. The pancake parlour, she yells lovely.
Yes.
In the pancake manor, she yells perfect.
Pancake on the Rocks, do they have a character?
They don't have an Alice in Wonderland character, but they have the same font.
So one of them got that in the divorce.
I think one of them probably, I reckon they would have had I mean, now we're just imagining, but you know, it's a podcast series. We have to flesh out six episodes.
Yeah.
This is where we'd throw to the reenactment of a supposed fight between the couples, where one of them was passionate about the Lewis Carroll theme and the rabbit and the Alice in Wonderland and the pocket watch.
Yes.
And then the other one was like, I don't think anyone cares about that.
Yeah.
You know, yes, it had a brief, had its moment as a Disney film, but like we're not pegging a whole business to it. Have it, please. We'll keep the saloon font and then, we'll know we're having both. Oh, okay.
Okay.
Well, we're breaking up. So that's... We're just waiting now. Basically, Northern Territory, WA, ACT and Tasmania are the only territories not to get dragged into this. And if they do, it will be an all-out civil war.
I would say...
Pancake civil war across Australia.
Northern Territory, I find unlikely. Is it too hot for pancakes up there?
Andy doesn't get pancakes, does he, Jake?
No, he really doesn't.
Doesn't understand what they are. We've been through this with you off air. Yeah. You don't quite understand that it's a food.
I don't really. I've never really eaten pancakes.
It's never too hot for pancakes.
Okay, sorry.
The farmer's breakfast, mate, is hash browns, bacon, eggs.
All on a pancake.
Of course on a
pancake. But I'm like Darcy. My eyes get confused seeing different.
Sweet and savoury.
I saw, apparently there's a pancake lasagna or something.
Yeah.
That's bizarre.
Well, I'm just telling you. I mean, up in the NT, you know, if you're like mustering cattle or something of a morning, you want pancakes when you wake up.
Okay.
That's a good breakfast.
Okay. Well,
and you might want them at night with ice cream. So it don't matter if it can't be. It's never too hot for pancakes. It's never too cold for pancakes. Mm-hmm. That's why they're the perfect food, and that's why the wars have started over them. I don't know where this goes from here.
Well, we never do.
What I find fascinating about the Pancake Manor's website is they also have an about. The pancake restaurants to include a history of.
And what are they saying about
this? Which seems suspicious to me. Is that just me? Because not too. They all have it, and they're all kind of painting their own history. The one thing the Pancake Manor has, the Brisbane one, is it's clear that it was formed since 1979. Mm-hmm. Now, the other two talked about this road trip in America that they're inspired by pancakes. These guys don't. These guys, it states their founder is a guy called Roger Meadmore, and he essentially leased a church and refurbished it into a pancake manor
right.
in 1979.
Is that before or after Parler?
That's about 15 years after the original Pancake Kitchen in Adelaide. So at some point, and I think by then the Parler was underway. I think by some point.
Maybe they're all like Mormons. There was a bunch of them.
They spread out.
Then their missions. And they went off on their mission to try and set up a pancake place.
And colonise the world.
Yeah.
And look, if you're trying to colonise the world with pancakes, I'd be a bit sceptical about colonisation, but I'll take, if that's what you're coming with, if it's basically just about pancakes, you've got my attention. That's all we've got there. They don't really go into, they just go into about how they wanted to serve Brisbaneites.
Okay.
And they're all 24 hours too.
Wow.
I don't know how we tie all this together. I don't know. I'll keep trying.
Guys, a pet update at my household.
I hope this involves a shattered ceiling and a rain of plaster down as the dog finally grew to the advertised and I dare say promised height.
No, it's. I'm going to shock you. It's about the not so. Popular pet in the house, the fish.
Oh, is he still around? Good on him.
Fish, wolf, still going strong.
Wolf?
Yeah.
I thought it was Fido.
It was. That Fido got replaced. Remember Fido got replaced by Beck's sister and then you called as the ghost of Fido.
Yes, that's right. Good fun.
To say, why'd you do this as we pranked Beck's sister?
No, it's an important part of the mourning process. is to have... calls from the grave, beyond the grave, done in a sensitive and joking manner to help people process the loss of a goldfish. Yeah. The golden years, as they're known, Andrew, when you had a fish as a dog surrogate, will always be fondly remembered when Beck was asking for a dog and instead you got her a goldfish for many years. But now you have a real dog, the favourite pet of the house.
Yes.
And
I said to Beck,
is neglected.
Hey, the fish is being neglected. Anyway, get home. And Wolf is upside down at the top.
Trying to get your attention. They'll do anything for love, goldfish. They sense it.
Beck, immediate panic mode, very upset that, hang on, she's like, something's wrong with Wolf. And I said, no.
She's one of the worst things, one of the biggest wrongs that can happen.
And then
he's gone to maximum wrong.
No, he'll be right. He'll be right. And so I'm doing some Googling. It's late at night. And then
my fish is stuck halfway through a barrel roll. What could be wrong with him?
Next morning, still upside down, but at the bottom. Now, right? And
like
Still moving.
What do you mean?
So Beck, like,
he's inverted.
He's just inverted, but he's
so his mouth is moving.
Mouth
and he's
moving.
Alive.
Yeah.
Oh, he's not dead.
He's not dead. He's still rolling around.
So he's got a ballast issue.
He's still making his way around the tank. He's just upside down.
So it is a ballast problem.
It's a ballast problem.
You've got a bubble caught in him. Maybe
you're spot on.
Is that what it is?
He needs to fart.
Right.
So yeah, he's got air trapped in his underbelly, so yeah. He's gone. He's floating up.
Imagine if when we needed to fart, we floated to the roof. Hamish would not.
I might as well. I'd move the couch up there. I'd glue the couch to the roof. Just cut to the chase and nail everything to the roof.
Ham, you know Beck well. She's not great in these situations. She gets very overwhelmed. So she won't go into the kitchen because that's where it is, because it brings her so much sorrow. So she's been crying. She's upset that Wolf is upside down.
And there's nothing you can do. You can't push on his belly.
Can you squeeze him? Yeah, can you squeeze him?
So here's the thing. I'm chatting to different, getting the water tested. I'm chatting to different vets. Most vets hang up on you. They are like, we don't do fish.
I would do that, yeah. I would go, I do fish, but only over $50.
Yeah, my fish needs to fart is not a huge priority.
I do a Nemo. I do the tropical stuff. Yeah. I do one of the Mexican fighting fish. Like I do your A-list fish,
yeah,
but I'm not doing a
goldfish. Yeah, so they said you have to chat to a fish vet, but the fish vet I got on to, his hours only start at 5 p.m., so I don't think it's his primary job. He must do something else. And then he clocks on at 5 p.m.
It's a scam. you just say you're a fish vet to see if anyone fell for it.
And it was a mobile number.
He's like a landscaper. He's got, sure, I'll throw fish vet in.
So I talked to him. I've also talked to an aquarium, and they said, you've got to feed it peas.
That's big. That's a lot of food for a fish. That'd be like us eating a watermelon.
Yeah, it's true. So you boil peas, then make sure you take the skin off the peas, and then
see you, Wolf.
Cut it into quarters and try and feed the fish these peas. So I've done that
to make him fart.
Yeah, apparently a high protein or fiber, whatever, for the peas will help it work through. So I'm got, rolled the sleeves up, and I'm lowering these peas in and getting Wolf to eat the peas out of my hand, and he's done that.
Just dump them in. Yeah, and then hand feed him.
Well, because he's not really moving around that much, mate.
You said he was moving when we claimed he was dead.
Yeah. He was doing laps in my mind.
Yeah, but if you're upside down trying to reach for the cheeseburger, he's a little bit disorientated, okay? So it was definitely, they were saying, if you can.
I think you did this to make Beck think.
No, the guy said, sensitive. Make sure you get the fish to eat the peas, right?
Okay.
So we did that.
Very hard thing to do for kids as well.
And he ate the peas, and they said, wait 24 hours, woke up, still upside down. Still going fine, but still upside down. So I've rung back the aquarium. He said, you're going to have to give it a stomach massage. So I was like, okay, I was out for work. Beck kept ringing me going, when are you getting home to give the fish a massage?
Tell you what, good gig being a pet in the Lee household these days. Not before Beck. Before Beck, you would have been kicked out and you might not have lived. But now that Beck's on the scene, every animal gets mud wraps, face cleansers, tummy rubs, massages, Japanese
is
thermal.
More spoiled than Henry, so currently in the house, is just a shock to me. So I'm rushing back from work to get in. She's like, come on, he's still upset. So I'm in there and I'm giving this fish a massage.
And he gets an erection. I've heard FM radio, mate. It's the oldest story in the book. Come on. Every breakfast show's done this story. And he gets a little boner and it's a bit awkward between you, and now he won't look you in the eye.
So I managed to not push too hard. Like, I didn't push the poo out of them, but I've encouraged.
Sorry, so this is still on the tummy.
Yeah, a poo.
You did get it out.
I've encouraged one out, but it didn't seem like a full whack. And then he righted himself for a second, and then he's gone back to being upside down.
You're teaching him. Pavlov's goldfish.
So, current state of affairs, still upside down. Sure. Beck's still requesting that I give him a massage every night. But still alive.
And have you tried to turn him around?
Yes.
Upright?
Yes.
And he'll just spin back?
He for a while, he's like, this seems like the right way to be. And then, unfortunately, the gas takes over and his stomach takes him.
Not as a joke. My initial thought here is to get a water bomb, slightly inflate it, right, put it at the top, and using fishing wire or something like that, harness him so it rights him,
thread the fishing. So he's got like a little harness and the bubble, like he's
floating
him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, like hot a little hot air balloon.
Hot air balloon, hot air balloon him to ride him the wrong way. Battle that small like bubble with a big bubble.
It seems like a short-term solution.
Yeah, but that'll make that gas bubble he's got float back to where it's meant to be at the top.
Oh, yeah.
It'll sort it out.
Hamish, could you start knitting him a harness?
I'm not knitting again, mate. Did I tell you how long the knitting took?
Oh, yeah.
Hours, Jack. Absolutely hours. Most work I've done all year. My hands are still cramped from that knitting.
Wolf will have evolved eyes on the body's back by the time, although he's front by the time Amy's finished.
No, I only knit for very, very close friends, not their fish. And you are a tough man to please. Therefore, an easy man to upset. Hit it, Jack.
I'm not a tough man to please.
Everything is neat and practical. Because that's the way he likes it. But what if it wasn't? Upset Andy.
And a fresh list. Every time we get him in, because we really don't ever repeat an upset Andy.
No, which I'm surprised.
They keep pouring in.
I feel
in.
Like they'd be running out by now.
They keep pouring
when
in.
When they land on my, to be honest, when they ran on my side of the fence, I apologize to people because I, as soon as I, because the people are upset and I just delete them straight away. Yeah. So there is,
don't want to be upset.
50% of them are probably.
Right. So there you go.
Not make it through, which I apologize to that.
That's
crew.
Good. We're not overfishing it.
Yeah.
Yep. So many great
putting
ones
them back in the ocean.
Yeah. And hopefully, if you haven't heard from us and you really thought it was a cracker.
Yeah.
Go again. You might have got Andy's side.
Yeah, try and jump back in the boat.
Sebastian. Sebastian joins us. Sebastian, you got something to upset Andy?
Yeah, ahoy, gentlemen.
Ahoy, man.
When I go into the supermarket and it's time for me to crack out my rewards card, instead of going to the nice, simple app that's on the phone there, I go into my girlfriend's messages, go through into the photos section, scroll all the way down to the screenshot she sent me of the barcode from about 3 years ago. So sometimes one big scroll gets me all the way there, and other times it's a couple small scrolls and I might land on it.
I do this a lot. I do this with a Medicare card. I know my wife has sent it to me.
Yeah, but you can go just to media. You don't have to scroll. You can just tap on and then media.
But that's who's got time to go to media?
But rewards card roulette. Like you got to have some fun while the lady asks you for your rewards card.
Yeah, I mean it's not terrible because I take photos of all those things and have it in.
You'd save them.
In photos, in a favorites, like,
oh, there we go.
Yeah, like
archive. Yeah, I can't see you going back through all your selfies with Beck to try and find the vet's discount card or whatever.
That would annoy me. But it's not red hot for me.
Okay, start a medium. Thank you, Sebastian.
Thank you.
That's all
Sebastian.
Right. Kay, have you got something to upset Andy?
Right. Yes, I do.
Okay,
so my mum sent me a photo of something that my stepdad did. So day one was just the six pack of yogurts in the fridge, and one of them was open and empty.
He'd eaten one, but he hadn't unsnapped it.
But yeah, it was still attached.
Hang on, he'd eaten one attached to the six pack?
I've done that before, I think. Just he's standing at the fridge. He wants a fridge snack.
That is awful. That's peri peri hot as a bad one for me. So instead of snapping off the singular one, he'll just peel back one lid, eat it, still attached with five other ones hanging off it.
You did say, Kay, it was day one. What did you do on day two?
Day two, she sent me the photo and it was two empties still attached to the soup.
That's gathering mold.
Do you ever scoop anything out of the jar and eat it?
As a straight off in like a
little treat for Andy?
No.
Nutella or a bit of peanut butter?
I used to do it with Milo.
Dip it, finger in? Lick a finger, dip
it in?
Never
do a finger in, no. Why not? No, because people don't want your fingers in their food.
They'll never know. You're in the house together.
Okay, thank you for that. But
nice,
that
Kate.
Is awful.
Penelope, what have you got?
So in my kitchen, on the counter, we have like a notebook for writing shopping lists and stuff, and then a cup full of pens next to it. Mm-hmm. If anyone in my family discovers that one of the pens doesn't work, like it's out of ink or something, instead of throwing it in the bin, we'll just put it back into the cup.
I hate recharge it.
And so at this point, it takes like four or five tries to get a pen that works because we've been doing it for years.
Yeah.
Like only a couple of them work in a whole cup full of pens.
Awful.
Yeah.
Awful. And
do you throw pens out?
To go to the bin.
Absolutely throw a pen out. This is exactly what Beck would do. Beck would totally just leave it there. Yeah. And she just wonders why.
Sometimes you go, oh, it might be a bad day. The ink might be feeling not up to it today, but sometimes
pens. Exactly. You've got to give it a chance.
Some Sometimes pens come back to life.
You do one lick on the nib and give it a scribble, and if it's not coming from there, you throw it out.
It's rough.
You can tell. But that's awful, Penelope. I hate
half
that.
Pen life. Christina, what have you got to upset Andy?
Ahoy, boys.
Ahoy.
Okay, so in the laundry room, we had the carton of washing powder on the top shelf, mm-hmm. and next to it was a carton of bird seed. So normally I just grab a carton and free pour it straight into the machine, as you do. Mm-hmm. But a few times I'd do this without realising I'd grab the bird seed. I'd be staring in the washing machine thinking, oh no, what are we going to do here sort of thing? But then was like, oh well, that's definitely not a problem for right now. Close the lid, hit start and go about my day.
Hang on, you wash with bird seed.
100%. It's the water that does most of the cleaning anyway.
So you, like an exfoliation for the pants.
You're not even liking these pants.
My next move would be, I'd understand you'd be like, oh, well, boxes are boxes. But I do know there's a difference between soap powder and birdseed. I would put in more than I would normally put in of the powder on top of the birdseed and give it a birdseed and detergent wash.
No, sir. Got a bit on. No time for that.
I understand.
Faster and loose than Amy.
I understand that you've got a busy day. We've all got stuff to do. I'll let you go, Christine. Let you get back to your jobs. Michael, upset Andy.
G'day, chaps. So too fast, my fiance and I like a healthy variety of breakfast cereals. Nice. But those boxes are mostly filled with air and take up lots of space. Mm-hmm. So we just bin the boxes and throw each of the bags on a shelf in the pantry.
Mm. A thrown bag is already and he's scrunching his face up at a thrown bag.
No.
He was with you for binning the boxes, but then the next bit he wanted to hear, I'm guessing, was put it in a sealed Tupperware container.
Yeah, cereal ones.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, no containers here.
That's comes with a container and it comes with a bag.
What is strange about this is I love the fact that it's saving space in the cupboard. Mm. I don't like that you can't readily identify what cereal it is there.
Just misty bags.
Mm. How do you identify cereal?
Oh, you just go hunting and see what you grab for that day.
That's disappointing.
Do you look in the top hole to see what's in there?
Oh, so yeah, top hole. Well, sometimes if I grab the bag out, there's already a hole on the side. So
that's no good.
I like the top hole, so I'll open the flaps on the corner and sometimes I'll pour it out and you've got two holes of cereal going out into the bowl.
Where'd the other hole come from?
If my fiance jumps in and like pokes a hole in the side and she rips it open because she can't be bothered to do the top.
She's very fuzzy. She can't be bothered to do the top flaps on the bag.
Can't be bothered. And then I jump in, I see the closed tops. I'm like, well, this isn't open. So go and open it. And suddenly I've got cereal on the floor.
You got a double holer.
I hate all that.
And I can just see Andy in pure disbelief here going, you go to the supermarket, you bought the cereal, you bring it home, you've done everything right, then you get home, you're double-holing the bag, you're throwing out the box, you're pouring it all over the floor. You were so close.
Yeah, Michael, at our place.
Oh, yeah, here we go.
The flour comes out, obviously, and it can be poured into a Tupperware thing for extra, so you can seal it again.
Yeah.
And then I'll cut out...
Oh, yeah,
the
I've seen this in my house. This is so bad.
So it's so you have like the title card and then you slide that in the container so you know exactly what flour it is or sugar or whatever.
Yeah, I've seen that, Mike.
But that's so many different cereals and stuff. Like you can't have your variety. You know?
He wouldn't do it for cereal and he would trust himself to identify Sultana brand over Sustain. But yes, I've seen him do it and for pastas too, for other things that are sealed. He will get the scissors, got all the effort of cutting out like the panel.
Doesn't take long. Just a little panel to say.
I honestly don't know how you have time to come in here with all the extra stuff that you do. Like, thanks, Mike.
Haim, I did this last week and it pains me, but I have to do it again.
No. Well, I think I know what this is. Yeah. Are we segment sleuthing?
Yeah, we are. Jump
and
into it, Jack.
If you have to, you have to.
Yes.
This sounds like this, sounds like this, sounds like this. If this sounds like that, I'm your man. Andy Lee, segment sleuth.
We had one from New Zealand where we suspected a little bit of segment stealing.
heavily inspired by.
Yeah,
and one from England, Ando.
That was inspired by us.
Last week, one from England. Really
all corners of the Commonwealth in full treason mode.
Yes.
Just absolutely milking the colony of Australia for all it's worth, thinking no one will find out.
This one's closer to home. Firstly, I'll play some audio from a podcast that I particularly love. Some people might not be into it, but try it. I'd recommend trying it.
It's not for everyone, but I like these guys.
This is something from their podcast a while back.
How are you changing the game? Because what I want to focus on is those parts of life where we're all just doing the thing we think we're meant to be doing.
Yes.
But really, the game could be changed for the better for all of us, and we should share the message.
Ben joins us now.
Ben, we've had our producers go through and find a selection of people that are changing the game. Mm. Please tell us, how are you changing the game?
So my little game changer is the Tarkarito, as I call it.
The what, sorry?
It's Tarkarito.
Tarkarito.
Okay.
Taco burrito.
Your standard taco, all your fillings and whatnot, but outside the outer shell of the taco, you put a burrito, so when you take a bite, the taco doesn't split and all your fillings fall out.
Oh, geez, that's a pretty good idea. That is a game changer. So you've got a hard shell taco surrounded by a big soft shell tortilla.
Exactly right.
Yeah, that's changing the game.
That is changing the game.
Some time ago, and we know that there has been updated work with tacos and burritos. We haven't done a full update of that, but old El Paso is something we follow closely, but not today.
Not
because
today.
That was the segment. And this one comes in from a show in Melbourne, actually. Let's have a listen.
We want to talk about game changers now. What do you think for you is a definite game changer where it's something you do routinely and from the moment you do it, this is it. This is a game changer for me. I'll always do it. It makes things and life go easier. Dan, what's your game changer?
It's wrapping a hard taco in a soft taco. No mess. You get all of the goodness from every taco.
That is good because hard taco is always so messy. Mm, you're always breaking.
Flimsy structure.
Yeah. Jacko just coming in.
The question here is, Jack, again, it's another British person that thinks they can steal from the colonies. But, Jack, the question here is, did you take this to Christian?
I did not.
My lord,
if
we're looking for segments, my lord, I think I have one.
I promise you I did not take game changers in. And not only that, when I was listening to the guy tell about the taco, I was like, this sounds familiar.
The guy rang up with the same thing.
Just like Mrs. Doubtfire was at the wrong table in the wrong outfit going, hang on, I've said something from when I'm the guy version and now I'm the nanny.
It's always good to have a rehearsal, Jack.
You crossed worlds and you didn't even flinch.
So when that comes up in your head in the ad break, do you go, oh, by the way, Christian, we've done that?
I honestly didn't. It felt familiar, but I didn't know we did it as a segment on
Which
Hamish
I
and Andy.
Do believe for Jack, because he barely listens to us.
He'd be barely listening to Christian.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right. It's more like it felt familiar, more like somewhere in my subconscious this feels like it existed, but I don't really know where it's from.
And you heard it
from your hobby
as background noise once and then twice. It's from,
the same way that someone that might have poker as a hobby, something might come up in their life that the guys have been chatting about over cards. Yeah. I can't remember every conversation that happens at my hobby. You go out fishing on the weekend, you don't remember everything that, Larry said fishing. Yeah. It's like, he says a lot of stuff. It's just my hobby. It's not like I'm at my job paying attention.
So can I ask, is it the same caller or different caller?
It's not the same caller. I think he's got a different name.
I think it's got into society enough now. I think I've seen a few times floating around on Twitter too. So it's in society enough now, this life
hack. My question is the caller more to blame here?
Well, you guys started a segment called Changing the Game, which is exactly what we're doing. So that is a show called The Christian O'Connell Show. His sidekick is Jack Haim. Are we burning them at the stake?
Yeah, unfortunately, Jack.
Can I beg not to?
Yes, but we won't.
Yes. I know, Andy. I would enjoy a begging.
Like one free pass as friends.
Okay.
And I won't get you next time.
All right. No,
Jack, that's not begging. You have to beg.
Yeah.
No, I don't want to beg.
Ando. And Jack, but look, mostly for Ando. No offense, Jack.
As is tradition.
Could be the slogan of the show.
No offense, Jack.
Just wondering, sorry to bring up personal business on the show, but just wondering what you're doing Friday.
This
wanted
Friday?
To see this Friday coming up, if you've got your iCal out.
Yeah.
Just wanted to see if, I know we've got a few things to chat about. We won't do it here, but I want to schedule in perhaps a Zoom call, a bit of a catch up, maybe a beer over Zoom.
Okay.
2 o'clock-ish, perhaps in the afternoon Friday.
Yeah, I can do 2.
Oh, I can't. Sorry, mate.
Yeah, what?
Sorry, just I'll be on the course.
Oh, stop.
Sorry, mate.
Playing golf.
Bloody golf. Yeah, golf again.
Got a fourth? Got a fourth?
Yeah, shit. Oh, sorry, mate.
Sorry.
Full gang. Full all the Beatles. Going around with a full fourth.
No,
yeah, full quad.
That.
Full quad. Swinging the sticks. When you're chipping, where do you like to put the ball?
Front of stance, back of stance.
Back of stance for me.
Yeah, really? Okay.
I almost had a chance.
Front of stance.
Nah, back of stance.
Of coming
back
into.
See, Jack, this is what you're missing out on. This sort of funny joke that we're doing about where you would put the ball for a chip. Andy goes front of stance.
No.
And then I. Well, really? Nah, back of stance. It's a classic. It's an absolute classic ball positioning
Very
joke.
Funny.
You didn't get it.
I don't think you even knew a joke was happening.
I don't think you even knew a joke was happening.
I actually thought you were saying bag of fans. And I was like, well, I do know that is something to do with golf. Bag of Vance was a golfer, wasn't he?
No. Bag of Vance was a Will Smith film. He was a golfer, wasn't he?
He was
a ghost.
A ghost.
Yeah, he
was on the golf course, so he's probably
a golfer of yesteryear.
Yeah. He would follow around Matt Damon as a ghost of a, like, basically giving him tips as Matt Damon played golf,
which is illegal.
Which is actually illegal.
Unfortunately, under course rules is illegal.
Yeah.
Gina Comp, that would not have been allowed.
No, because I think Matt had his own caddy. You're only allowed one.
That's outside help.
That's outside help.
Bag of Vance was giving him reads of putts and stuff. And so, yeah, unfortunately, anyone he was playing in the comp with, if they'd seen that film, they could have got him kicked off the course.
It's the film.
Probably got his membership cancelled.
Will won the Oscar for it.
No, he didn't.
It wasn't that film, was it? All right,
No, it wasn't. Legend of Bag of Ants, always one of the bridesmaids when it came to came to Oscars.
Not even nominated, actually. I'm just looking up now. Not even nominated.
So, Jack, so you thought when I go to Andy, where do you put the ball for a chip? And then, so you thought the exchange was, Andy, where do you put the ball for a chip? Bag of Ants?
Or Bag of Ants.
Bag of Vance, and then Andy goes front of Vance, and then bag of Vance.
That's when I started to pick up that it might be something different, but it's not too weird to guess.
That's golf banter.
That a bag of Vance might be a shot that was named after a legendary old golfer who.
Right.
It sounds to me like you think that that golfers just say bag of Vance to each other. Have a good laugh.
What I was going to say, though.
In the car park.
Hey, mate.
Bag of Vance.
It's like how we just say rhubarb in the back of the diner on Home and Away to make it look like they're talking.
Bag of Vance, John.
You're in the clubhouse. Bag of Vance.
I was honestly this close to being in the golf group. Because a golf sponsor reached out to me wanting to know if I wanted clubs.
Wow. You were noodling for this.
I was noodling for Callaway, never heard from him. Mizuno came forward and messaged me, said, we'd love to set you up with clubs.
Mm.
And Mizuno's good.
They're okay.
Yeah, Mizuno's good. Yeah,
they're a slow club.
No, well, this is what happened.
Funny you should say. You swing through and the club head will be some minutes behind
you. Yeah, for some reason just...
God, any moment now. Sorry, guys, I've done the swing, but the head should be here in a moment to complete the shot.
Funny you should say, because I said, just as a warning, I have taken on a big sponsor before, Yamaha, and now
slow
people
guitars.
Think their guitars are slow.
Yeah.
They withdrew the offer.
Oh, no.
Well, good on you, Jake, for being such an honest weasel.
Yeah. That's good.
Because you could be sitting there going, look, you know,
I can
get you exposure on the show. I can say it many, many times. I'll absolutely get the name out there. But you've been done the right thing and gone, I cannot always promise that it will be received.
I knew slow clubs were coming. If I was going to part or swing with those Mizunos, yeah. I knew that they would be called slow. So I thought it was only fair to mention that up front. And I thought with my honesty, they might go, you know what? You've been honest. We're still going to deliver the clubs. They chose not to.
Absolutely slam the door shut. They slam the door shut. Now, the only way that you can really go forward here, Jack, is Andy has a sort of, I think, a formal deal with the wonderful people at TaylorMade. I independently chose them.
Yes.
Judged them to be the leading golf equipment specialists.
Nothing to do with the contacts that we had in place.
Certainly. After I'd made the choice, it was nice to then get the number off of Andy. We came to quite an advantageous decision.
Yeah.
The only chance you've got here, Jack, is for you to pick a non-shunned golf brand.
Yeah.
Is to follow suit and get into TaylorMade.
Yes. Mm. And so what I was meaning to say after I said no thanks to Mizuno when they withdrew the offer.
Mizuno, do you know anyone at TaylorMade?
Was, that's fine, Mizuno, because I'm actually a TaylorMade man and always was.
Interesting.
So you're quite open to the idea of Mizunos, which Annie and I never would be.
I told them I couldn't do it, essentially.
No, they withdrew their offer. Who'd you say no thanks to? Hey, we withdraw our offer. No thanks. What?
I'd love to hear some TaylorMade's, in all honesty.
Okay.
If that number is still floating around.
Hey.
Unfortunately, it does seem like they're
are you playing Friday?
Yeah, that was the idea. Been trying to get out a fair bit. Yes, done three driving range sessions.
Yes.
Very positive. Trending very
positively. How are you feeling? Do you feel this?
Ask Golly, my coach, mate.
Is it a peter out or is it a?
No, I'm petering in. It's a slow peter in because it's certainly I haven't. It takes quite a lot of time, doesn't it? You've got to get to the course and
yeah.
I've just got quite a full plate as it stands.
No, you don't.
Well, I've had to get a side plate for this.
Yeah. Okay.
But heading out for we did go out last week. Mm. Headed out last week.
Yeah.
And this is when I did the chipping practice because the course was shut because of weather, but I still managed to practice some chipping. Yeah. That's where I did the
back of stance.
Ball at the back of stance. Back of stance. And yeah, then heading out Friday, looking likely to swing the old sticks on Friday.
Nice. Where are you playing?
Golf courses. You have to go to the course. You can't just play. You need the full setup, mate. You need the fairway, you need the tee. You can't just go to an oval. That's not good enough.
Just when normally in golf chat, someone will go, I'm playing Friday, and you'll say, where are you playing? And you won't say bag of fans as an answer.
You'll say the course.
Yeah.
And haven't decided yet.
Okay. And then people go, you know, that's when people go, oh, gee, the 12th, what a beautiful hole or whatever.
Oh, like. Great. I'm looking forward to saying some of that. Because this is the world I'm learning about.
Yeah.
But I've been out and I'll send you some of my videoed swings. Again, Zoe's not interested.
Yep, but I would be very interested.
Thank you. Because, gosh, it's a phenomenal how uninterested a wife can be. It's like you've just never seen levels of interest this low in an awake person.
Yeah, and we work with Jack.
Jack should give you a run for your money, mate. I reckon we bring you guys in here and go side to side. You pretend you're paying attention to the show. She pretends she's interested in golf.
Thanks for listening. The Hamish and Andy podcast will return next week. Catch up or contribute at hamishandandy.com.